hearts and our minds for a moment on why we're here this morning and who we're here for and what he might have for us. And just let the Lord speak to our hearts. Father, we just ask right now that there would just be a breakthrough, Lord, in this place today. God, that those who have been having issues, whether issues that are coming from the outside or whether issues that are they're dealing with from within, God, that there would be breakthrough today. Lord, that your goodness, your greatness, your glory, God, would make us free today. And your truth, God, would make us free today. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that every thought, Lord, that is deviating away from concentration on you, Lord, could be fixed back on you. Lord, that fear would have no place in this house. That anxiety would have no place here today. That lack would have no place here today. But that your glory, your splendor, your awe, your wonder, Lord, are what would be so evident and manifested here today. We just release our hearts now into what you have planned for us here today. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd rather be, and hearing your love, hearing your love. Holy is the Lord God.
whispering for you. I surrender. Surrender to you this morning, Lord. Lord, we surrender our wills and our ways, Lord. We surrender our fears and our doubts, Lord. We surrender everything to you this morning. And Lord, I pray that there would just be a breakthrough, Lord, in our surrender. As we give up, Lord, what we've been holding on to, Lord, that you would bring breakthrough in lives today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesse, I'm wondering if you could do me a favor and play Aaron Keyes' Sovereign over me. It's a song that we play sometimes that's, I think, on your iPad or... In the Living Room is the album, but the name of it is Sovereign. And worship team, you can come on down if you want. Honey, I'm going to let you turn that off. So I just want to begin by sharing that this week has been a real struggle for me. I shared that with my girls on Thursday night, and I have run the gamut of emotions, and I must confess that some of those emotions were wrong emotions. They were anger, they were bitterness, and as we started singing this morning, and it started with the song that is "You're a Good, Good Father," and we began singing that song, all I could think of is that, you know, if the enemy is going to do anything, he's going to get us and our minds off of God's goodness and put it on our lack. And this week we were with a friend at the hospital, and if there was anybody that I would think that could not be attacked, this would be the person. And the attack came hard and it came strong. And afterwards, he even said, you know, I had to, with everything in me, pray, pray, pray. And so it's not just, and I know this sounds really terrible and I don't mean it to, but it's not just regular Christians that have problems. Even people that are, you know, ministers, evangelists. I mean, there are so many people, the thoughts come against them. The battle comes here, in here. And I've been struggling for a couple years since I was in a really bad car accident with my sister, with neck pain and back pain. And I got some not so good news this week that the injury is starting to impede the blood flow to my head. And so I've been having vertigo problems and all of that. And I'm like, well, you know, I got so mad this week. And I got really mad, and I yelled, and I, you know, I was angry and I was bitter and Oh, and I got served. I did. I literally got served. Legal papers. And from the medical stuff that had come up about this accident that the insurance company's not paying, and it's over $5,000. Like, we only have 500. Well, barely. I mean, you know, let alone $5,000. So I'm just saying that, you know, the enemy will come against us any way he can. And as I began to sing that song, that "You're a Good, Good Father," I realized something in the midst of that song. The enemy wants us to look at our badness, but God says, no, don't look at you, look at me. I'm good, and that's all you need to worry about. I'm good. That's it. Have you done something wrong, or have you thought some wrong thoughts, or have you been angry or bitter or lacked trust or whatever? You may have, but wait a second. God says, look at my goodness. I've overcome all of that stuff. All we have to do, last song, is surrender. So, Jesse, did you find that song? If you want to just play it, and you can even put it on repeat, because we're going to, if you even want to come down, we're going to open up for prayer this morning. And anybody that's battling, and I mean, if it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's spiritual, if it's, what other way could it be? I mean, there's so many, all of the above. We need to start praying for one another. We're a family.
Amen.
And as we pray for one another, we need to remember, one, God is a good, good Father. And two, surrender. Can you turn that up just a little bit, Jesse? I want you to just listen to this first part. When you meet us in our mourning sadness.
With a love that casts out fear.
Is that beautiful?
Yeah. You're working and awaiting. You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us.
God's cleaning us up. We don't have to do it. He does it.
When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust
day by day, guys.
Your plans still prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign.
Okay, you guys, if this is about you and you know it, I'm going to put this down because it's about me and I know it. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to stand. And we're going to let God do the work.
Yeah.
And if you feel like God's calling you to come up to somebody, if He's not calling you, you come up and you pray. We're going to pray for one another.
Yes. Yeah, if you've been dealing with anything that has been causing that fear, where God's perfect love can't protect your heart, can't guard your thoughts and your mind, we just open it up right now. We just offer this time to you to be able to receive deliverance, healing. Joe and Christine, if you feel that the Lord's leading you to somebody, Father, we just surrender this moment into your hands. Just release those individuals, Lord, that you desire to set free right now, Lord, to be bold, to come up, Lord, and to receive, Lord, what they need. Thank you, Jesus.
You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign. With us in the fire and the flood.
Thank you, Lord, Father. Just
you're faithful forever,
right now, God.
Perfect in love.
Jesus.
You are sovereign over us.
Yeah.
You there is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. Yeah, you're working and awaiting. You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Let's sing this heart. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Yes, we trust you. It's a loving King. Our wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reading high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace.
Thank you.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. Yeah, you're working and awaiting. You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Sing his heart. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Yes. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Yes, we trust you, the loving King. Our wisdom unmatched. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, family, for giving us that opportunity to pray for each other. Thank you, Lord. So the mirror is the name of the message. The mirror. How many have a mirror at home?
Too many.
They're so common, aren't they? Probably several women have them in her purse right now. Most of us have one in our car when we throw down the visor, right? And has anyone ever heard the saying that mirrors don't lie? Right? Mm-hmm. Well, our mirror may be, in a way, lying to us, this mirror that I'm talking about, because it's not that the mirror is lying, it's just that what is happening because of our human experience, our human existence, our flesh, it keeps us from knowing the real truth about who we are and who God is to us. So let's take a look at a real powerful set of verses. I hope I can keep from going too far on any of the other stuff, because it's all so powerful, but we'll just try to stay on the topic today. But how many have heard of the love chapter? It's an entire chapter in the Bible that talks about love. And it talks about not human love, you know, not earthly love. It talks about a God love, a love that is unconditional, a love that is fully charitable, even when people don't deserve charity. And so we're going to go ahead and you're good to read, babe?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and start at verse 1.
Are you going to stop me?
You just read all the way through. And okay. We'll
Everybody,
see where it
here
goes.
Here we go.
300 verses. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we better get going, yeah.
Yeah, better get going. Got to get it done. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
That's a powerful chapter. Years ago, I mean, we're talking like 30 years ago, I think, maybe 25. I don't want to make me sound like I'm as old as I am. But anyway, the Lord put on my heart to memorize this. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, I can memorize it. But then he said, okay, you've got it memorized. But what I want you to do is I just want you to read this every day. Even though you have it memorized. And he kept me in 1 Corinthians 13 for like, seemed like a year. And I'd read it and I'd study it and I'd think about it and I'd meditate on it. But he wanted me to get the idea of love and understand it. And you know, it's one of those things that when I'm dealing with individuals, I can remind them real quickly that, you know, without love, it doesn't matter what we do. I mean, you could have said on there, raise the dead. It could have said on there, pastor a church. It could have said on there, you know, anything, you know, father your children, you know, and be a good dad. But if you don't do it out of love, out of real love, then it profits us nothing, which is crazy, isn't it, when you think about it. So I want to focus on a couple parts here. And first of all, what I want us to realize is that every single section of this is talking about love. There's individuals that have, you know, made commentaries and stuff about what certain parts of this are about. And I'm going to try to prove to you that it's all about love. This whole thing is about love. And that the mirror that we're really talking about is God's love. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10 again. Like Zeke said, we got to get rolling. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. So this is Paul talking about. There's a knowledge that we have, and there's a prophetic voice that we have, but it's in part. It's not in full. And he says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So me being a, you know, Christian of many, many years, I've heard about this perfect. Years ago, I was told that this perfect was the Bible. And that those who were against any of the works of the Holy Spirit use this scripture to say, well, it's been done away with. All the prophecy, all the words of knowledge, the healings, all that stuff died with the apostles because we now have the Bible, the perfect. And somebody tried to use that on me to get me to quit, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I told him, you know, you're too late. So I knew it wasn't the Bible. No, it wasn't the Bible. And then, you know, I've heard, you know, some people say, well, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, well, the Holy Spirit was the one that came. All these other things would be done away with. Then I don't think that was it, because the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit dwells in all of us. And so what is this perfect? Well, first of all, let's look at the word perfect. What does it mean? It's the word teleos, and it means, and it's from, I think it's an adjective of another word, which is 5056, if you want to look up the Strong's. But it means complete. It means complete. It can mean that it's arrived, it's at its fullness, completeness of full age or perfection. So this word is talking about when a completeness comes, when a fullness of something comes, then this partial will be done away with. So what is this fullness that we're all looking for? What is this perfect? Glad you asked. 1 John 4, 16 through 20. Now this is the cousin word that I've highlighted in yellow here of that one that we just looked at. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. We've talked about that already today. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected. So here's this perfection word again. Among us in this. In what? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. In this world. So as he is, not Jesus walking on the earth 2,000 years ago, as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. Mm-hmm. Love has been perfected among us in this, that as he is, so are we in this world. See, we tend to segregate ourselves from the love of God based upon conduct, earning, you know, you know, what we've done that day. Or, but I mean, like the song said, that, you know, I think it was at the cross, it says that when I failed, you still loved me. It's not like, you know, God's a seesaw and we get in his graces and out of his graces. He loves us. And you say, well, okay, but he still holds his grace. No, he doesn't hold his grace back. Mm-hmm. If you love someone, you're not going to, well, I'll give you my love, but I'm not going to give you my all. I mean, it can't happen. If you love somebody totally committed, you give them everything that they need to succeed, to become who you want them to be. Right?
Right. And the point I want to make, too, is when it says, so are we in this world, this really is individualized. Because I have a world that I'm in. And Nani has a world that she's in. But I don't go to Nani's school. I don't see Nani's friends. I don't talk with Nani's teachers. And she doesn't come to my world or type on the computer at my work or speak to the people that I work with. So when it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I know there have been times that I've seen somebody, God's nudged me about somebody, and I think to myself, oh, somebody else will talk to him. You know, somebody, God will surely call somebody else to do. I don't think he's calling me to do that. He's calling every one of us to do that. Because my sphere of influence is not the same even as my own husband's. It's different. And God will give us boldness as we need. He will let us speak to our world. So we don't want to just say as the Christian church is today, it's become very complacent. It's like gritting our teeth and putting our fingernails in our mouth and saying, "Oh dear God, help all the politics and the government and all of that stuff. You know, you got to make it right." Well, he needs legs and arms and voices to help him do what's right in this world. And as Christians, we've sat back far too long, and I'm not getting on a political drive. I'm just saying we've sat back far too long and said, God will take care of it when he takes care of it. But no, 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 no. He's called each and every one of us to do something. And what we do with what he's given us, we will be held accountable for it in a good way, but still, it'll be like, oh, Lord, I should have done that for you. Like, when I get to heaven and I see my Lord, I do not want to hang my head down in shame and say, I should have done this and I should have done that and see what I could have done. I want him to be, oh, good and faithful servant. I want him to be able to say that with all of him to me because I love him and wanted to do that. Am I making sense to you guys? Because we could leave it up to the pastor of our church and move on with our world and then come the next Sunday and then leave the rest of the week up to the pastor of our church. But he does come to my work sometimes, but not all the time. And the administrator of the school I work for, God gave me opportunity just last week. In the midst of my really rough week, I got to pray for her, hold her hands and pray for her. He wasn't there to do it. Nobody else would have done it if I hadn't have done it. Do you see what I'm saying? And guys, when we're in God and we're doing it in his Holy Spirit's guiding and leading and direction, it doesn't have to be any big deal, does it, Panda, that tap on the shoulder? You know, we were talking about it on Thursday night, and she's like, there's this one girl's bugging her at work, and every time she bugged her on one day, she kept tapping her shoulder, but inside she was saying, oh, dear Jesus, bless her, or whatever she was saying in Spanish. Oh, dear Jesus, bless her. And the girl said, why do you keep tapping me on the shoulder? And Panda said, by the end of the day, it was 15 times. Like, because this girl was just really at Panda. But Panda was in Panda's sphere. I wasn't there. I couldn't look at the girl and say, hey, you're driving my Panda crazy. Knock it off. I wasn't there to protect her. She had to do what God was telling her to do. She was praying for that girl. Do you see my point? We all have a world. And he wants us to be in it. And he wants us to be active in it. And he wants us to love like he loves.
But the only way we can love like he loves is if we receive his love.
Exactly.
Other than that, we will be just, we'll be doing things because we know that we need to do that. And his love is perfected in this, that as he is, so are we. And so that drive to pray for people, that drive to tap people on the shoulder is God in you. It's God at work in you. It's his Holy Spirit giving you the empowerment. And if say that she was being like, hey, I need to do this or blow up. If she would have blown up, she still loved. But she chose a way to live the love of God. Live it out. Let's go ahead and keep reading because we've got a lot. 18 and 19. Oh, it's okay.
Want me to read it?
Yeah.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Okay, so you remember I told you that word, perfect, complete? Mm-hmm. There is no fear in love, but perfect, complete, fulfilled, reaching its end love casts out all fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect, complete. It's that same word, whole in love. And why do we love him? Why can we even say we love God? Because he first loved us. John's trying to get us to realize that we're loved. John had the audacity in the Bible to write, when he was writing his Gospels, the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, I don't know if Peter ever read his Gospel, or Matthew, or any of the other disciples, because they could have read it like, dude, Jesus loved me too. It wasn't just you he loved. Mm-hmm. But John was identifying himself, that he knew that Jesus loved him. He knew God loved him. He knew that God was a good, good father. And he's trying to communicate to us here that there's a perfection, there's a perfect that's coming, and it's coming to all of us. And some of us will receive more of it today because we're hearing about it and a seed's being planted and we can grow in it. And it may take some of us 10 years from now to realize more and more that God's love is there. But I'm telling you, if we can fully receive the love of God, the full, complete love of God, the perfect love of God, there's not going to be any fear in us. And there's no fear that we don't do something right or something wrong, because when we're in that love, we're fulfilling the life of Christ. Because love is what drove and motivated Christ. It was his very essence. Does that make sense? Let's go back to this again. Maybe it'll help. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, and I'm going to submit to you, this is the love chapter. We're talking about love. That Paul is giving another identifying aspect of that love. Just like he said, when I was a child, I reasoned like a child, I thought like a child. But when I became an adult, I put childish things. He's talking about love. Love is a grown up, mature heart in God. It's a mature response to others. It's not childish. So Paul's talking about when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. So I believe that as we receive that complete, fulfilled love of God in our lives, that we're going to be like Jesus. That we don't have to try to imitate Jesus to be like Jesus. It's God's love who motivates us and creates in us the ability to be like Jesus. Does that make sense?
Will we ever get there, or will we always be working for that, toward that?
I think it's going to depend upon this next part. That's a good question. This next part says this: for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Or I also am known. So if we look at this, now we see in a mirror. So again, we're talking about love, remember? So Paul, again, is communicating about the aspects of love. For now we see in a mirror. How do we see God's love in us now? How do we see ourselves now? Do we see ourselves as just sinners just saved by grace, and we're just scraping, you know, our time here, you know, or whittling away our time here to finally get to heaven, where we finally get what God has for us? Or are we now realizing, seeing what Christ has done for us, seeing that God loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, he loves us. And if we can receive that love, not so that we can just, you know, say, well, God loves me and I can go do anything I want to. If you receive his love as he wants you to receive it, you won't think about those things. You will be transformed. You will be as he is now, not when you die and go to heaven. So we're seeing in a mirror dimly. That word dimly means obscured. We're seeing in a mirror that's not fully able to show the reflection. Now, isn't it interesting, though, that we're looking in a mirror dimly? We're not looking through a window trying to say, God, what are you doing out there? He's trying to tell us here that love, if seen properly, is in us. He's trying to say that if we could see, if we could get that mirror fully polished, to where we could see that mirror, the image that we're supposed to see, we will see somebody that's fully loved. And when we see somebody fully loved, guess what? We're not who we used to be. We're changed. I mean, Joe can tell you that. He was bombarded with the image of how much God loved him. And he was changed. It was almost instantly, but over time, more and more manifested. So we can see in this mirror clearly, folks. We don't have to see dimly anymore. That's the thing. I would read, when that which is perfect is come, okay, someday that's going to happen. And this mirror, dim mirror, that's, I have to live with this dim mirror. I'm here to tell you, we don't anymore. God, the mirror of our reflection is being polished by Holy Spirit. He's revealing to each and every one of us, I believe, at in our own way that we can receive it, who we are in him. That we are sons. See, I used to always, I'm a child of God, but I'm getting the revelation, I'm a son. Just like I told someone today, you're a daughter of the King. You have full inheritance in the kingdom. Anything else in this world is subject to that inheritance in you because it is God. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That inheritance that we have isn't just like, yeah, I get $1 million someday or I get a mansion on the hill. No, our inheritance is God himself. And we don't have to wait, you know, to cash it in, you know, when we're 6 feet under, that we get we have our inheritance now. We have fully been given life in God now. Isn't that good news? I think that's pretty good news. Okay, what's this word mirror mean? It means that a mirror for looking into, duh. But it used to be polished metal. Sometimes it was glass, but glass really wasn't available back then. They would polish metal. Yeah, you guys have seen like a real shiny silver goblet. You look along the line, now you're bent and everything, but you see yourself a lot of times, unless it's all dingy and you know, hasn't been polished, you know. That's something. Silver trays, you know, metal trays that sit there. They just oxidize. Oh, this is a good point. You have to do anything to them. They just, all of a sudden, oxidation, don't they, takes in. So I believe that this is a truth that we're getting here now, that to see ourselves as God really wants to see us requires us to keep polishing our hearts, to keep reminding ourselves, wait a minute, no, I'm loved. I'm not hated. I'm not just put up with. For God so put up with the world. Can you imagine? That he gave his only begotten son. Well, those, bless their hearts. Go ahead, Jesus. Go. No, for God so loved the world in such a way that he was willing to give of himself and bleed and die for us. That's what drove him, was this same love, that complete full love. So let's look at, wait, did I lose it? I think I lost a verse.
Which one?
I'm looking for it. Hang on a second. Yes. Okay, and I got to go to just the Bible. You just have to trust me.
Well, while you're looking
that up. 1 Corinthians 3.
Okay, while you're looking that up, I would just want to show that mirror thing. Ladies, do you notice that it's estotron, or however you say that? But that's like, what's the gals that do the face? What are they? A what?
Esthetician.
It's like, I think it's derived from that word.
Ooh.
Anyway, sorry. That was just a...
So, yeah, I did. I lost it. Because 1 Corinthians 13, I don't see it. I'm not 1 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 3:8. I must have just got really zealous and was cleaning it up and... cleaned up my message. So here it is. 1 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is talking about Moses when he had to cover himself with a veil, because when he would spend time with God, his face would shine with radiance. And he covered his face because the glory of God was departing. So they wouldn't see that glory depart. So he covered it so that the next time they saw him, he looked like Moses. Didn't look like he was shining and then the glory was gone. He covered it so they wouldn't see it disappear. For us, as we are with unveiled face, a polished screen, as we polish our hearts, as we remind our minds, see, we can't just do this stuff by just hoping it's going to stick. Mm-hmm. You have to purpose in your heart to remind yourself that God loves you. I mean, maybe something as simple, and I've said this before, is singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Boy, the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Is it true? Does Jesus love you? Well, if Jesus loves you, does God love you? In all our faults and failures. But we all, with unveiled face and beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed as we see in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Isn't that crazy? He's not saying as we look up into heaven and see him standing at the right hand of God, we see the glory of the Lord. No, as in a mirror. Because it's here. Guys, the glory of the Lord is here. I know you're like saying, dude, man, you need to, this is it? This is God's glory? I mean, looking at each other, it's like, wow. But if we see with unveiled face, if we remove the mask, if we remove the lies of the enemy, if we remove all of this dirt and junk and stuff that's blocking our mirror, we will see ourselves for who we truly are. And when we see that, we'll know that we're loved. And that love will cast out all fears and our desire for all these things that we think we need to have to be a Christian. They will just be there. We will just exist in him. We will fulfill on earth that we're living and moving and having our very being in him. It won't be just a truth that we know. It will be a substance that we carry with us. And it says, are being transformed into the same image. So that image that we see in the mirror when our face is unveiled, that is us, will then be transformed into that image. So if we can see ourselves as we're truly loved, it will transform us. It will change us. It will keep us in a place where the enemy has no hold on us. Where we can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because his love's been perfected in us. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord who does all this. You guys are really quiet. I'll finish with this verse. This is the last verse. And now abiding, or those that are present, that which is still dwelling, abide means to live with, that which is abiding with us, faith, hope, and love, these three are abiding with us, faith, hope, and love. That's one of those trinities that I've spoken to you about, you know, like spirit, soul, and body, faith, hope, and love. They're like anchored together, you know, because it says in one place that it's the things that we hope for that is part of faith.
Right.
And without love, you can't have pure faith.
Right.
Because you have to believe that God is a rewarder. You have to believe that he is. You have to believe that he loves you. But the greatest of these is love.
Right.
Again, Paul communicating that it's all about love. That without love, faith can be operated in. You know, you can believe, mm-hmm. but without love, there's not a purity of heart.
There's a scripture, isn't there, that says about I die daily.
It's similar to that, but it's Paul.
1 Corinthians 15:31, it says, I protest by your rejoicing when I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily.
Right.
And we don't want to make it sound like, oh, you know, once the mirror's completely perfected, once it's all clear and everything, that happy-go-lucky, skip to the loo, my darling, go through life. He was saying we have to continue to. This is a continual process on our part as Christians. And nobody else can polish my mirror except the Lord and me. Because I have to be receptive to that little thing that he found hiding in the corner that I'm going to have to really kind of scrub at and, like, you know, maybe take some extra cleaner or a brush or something and really get in there, because he knows that I have a problem with this one thing. My mirror and my walk with him, it's not done when it's, you know, when, because we're always going to be going from glory to glory. It's a daily process, this Christian walk. And you guys, we have to understand that word daily is minute, every minute of every day, every second.
But it's not up to us.
It isn't up to us.
I mean, if it was up to me to try to keep myself,
me and God,
it's a surrender.
Yeah.
It's a surrender. I mean, yes, I mean, daily we have to surrender, because there's all kinds of things trying to grab us. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things trying to take our attention away from God's love for us and our love for him. But we can't will this into being, and we can't work this into being. It's something we receive. It's like a gift. God's love is a gift. But if you don't receive it, and the only way you can receive it is to remind yourself when you're not acting like you're acting, that you think you should act, that you're loved. Amen? Does anybody have anything? Yeah? Do you want to get on the mic? So.
Yes, please.
I was just going to point out.
I know. Oh, go ahead.
Kevin, a lot of the songs that I've actually written and heard, I've used that line a lot. But the greatest of these is love.
But the greatest of these is love, yeah.
It was usually they always ended in, the reason behind the song that I was writing or listening to was a song of strength.
Uh-huh.
Just like, it wasn't like a love song. It was just from a reminder of what the greatest love is, or the greatest strength is.
Love, yeah.
Out of faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Good. Yep, it is the greatest. It's the greatest hit.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, at the beginning of the service, you know, I just felt the Lord, you know, just reminding me that he's good. And that he's good to us. You know, he's not just good. You know, God's good. You know, we can all, yeah, God's good. You know, unless you're, you know, you don't want anything to do with God, then, or you're mad at God. But God's good to us individually. Like you said, each and every one of us, he's good to in our world. You know, when we're going to work and we're going to a job that maybe people are not being that nice to us, they're response to us is not how God is treating us. God is good. Or maybe it's something in your family, issues with your family, someone you love, and they're treating you a certain way. That's not God treating you that way. God is good, and he's good to us. I know it's hard for us because, you know, especially those who have been in the church a long time, because we think that because of our actions, God is punishing us. That he's correcting us through illnesses, loss of job, all these things. But you know what really corrects and chastises us? Is the word. It's God's word that corrects and loves us. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the mirror of your love, Lord, would be polished in all of our hearts this morning. Lord, you are a good, good Father. And we are loved. Yes, we are. And I'm loved by you. Yes, I am. Help us remember that, Lord. Help us not just sing a song on Sunday and forget even what it means. Or help us not to read these verses here now and not to allow them to penetrate into our heart. Lord, we need all the darkness purged from our lives. We need all the lies of the enemy. We need all the lies that we've told ourselves or others have told us to be purged from our lives, Lord. So your full light, your full love, Lord, can be what is our guide, what leads us. Holy Spirit, that you would just allow the love of God to be perfected, completed in each and every one of us. Not when we die, Lord, but as much as we can receive here of your complete love, Lord, let it take place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
In case somebody still wants to pray, didn't come up, maybe John Christine wants to pray.
Oh, go ahead. Can you say that? Okay. And so if anyone else might want some prayer for healing or anything like that, Joan Christine, would you come up and give people an opportunity at the end to pray? We've done a lot of praying, but more prayer is better than less prayer, right? Amen. Have a wonderful day. That's weird. I don't know why that does that. Love you. Bless you.